You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Michael Morgan, artist and curator. Michael, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Michael, we're going to talk about your show that I just saw, which I really loved. Deus in Barkina. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, it's Deus ex Barkina, like Deus ex Deus, Machina.
Right, Deus ex Barkina, right.
Yeah.
And so before we jump into this show, which is a dog show, and we'll talk about it and some of the artists in it, this came out of a cat show that you did not long ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, so last September, I curated a cat show at Cornell in Ithaca, New York, and it was called Magnum Opus, which is obviously like a play on words between magnum opus, which is Latin for one's greatest work, and, you know, the sound you would use to call a cat. And it was a really fun show to put together. It was only open for 10 days, and it featured artists like QT Smith, Donna Nelson, Pamela Sneed, and it brought together 47 artists, a lot of them who were, you know, members of like the Cornell community, but also broader, some local artists in Ithaca too. And it was really fun because I, you know, when I went to grad school, I adopted a Siamese cat, and I just kind of wanted to, I was really interested in Louis Wayne, and kind of emulating some of the magic from some of his cat drawings, and I feel like I accomplished that in the form of a very short-term show. And it was while organizing that show that I developed a relationship with the Eli Center in New Haven, because I was reaching out to them to ask about, you know, artists based in Connecticut that might be interested in, you know, being a part of the show. And it was during the outreach of that show that I was, you know, sometimes hearing back from artists who are like, well, I'm more of a dog person. And so that kind of made me think a lot about like, well, what would a dog show that had kind of a similar premise, you know, look like or be like? And what kind of artists would I get to learn about or meet if I got to put something together in that capacity? And so the week after my cat show closed, I was in Newfoundland in Labrador, which is, you know, the birthplace of the Labrador Retriever. And I was brainstorming different titles for a potential dog show. And that's when I came up with Deus ex Barkina, because I feel like unlike cats, you know, who are self-aggrandizing and elegant, like dogs kind of give more of a like clunkier vibe. And so I wanted to kind of like, you know, catch some of that humor in that title. And ever since then, I was kind of putting together a roster of artists who I feel like really embodied like what it meant to devote themselves to, you know, like dogs as a subject or a symbol, or also just like other kind of dog works that I thought would be interesting from artists who I like.
So let's talk about this show then that you put together. That's, you know, I mean, there's obviously a sense of humor to this too. There's a sense of, you know, to me, empathy and sensitivity, but there's a sense of humor to both the shows that you're talking about, right? The cat show, so to speak, and as well as this show?
Yeah.
And starting with yourself as a painter, I'd love to jump right into If a Tree Falls. And it seems to speak to what we're talking about, because we have a cat and a dog in this, and they're kind of in the middle of what seems to be a interspecies,
Rochambeau,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about this, because there's so many interesting things happening here with a light being framed, things flying through the air, pitcher spilled. It's a scene of chaos, but also it seems that there's a lot of perhaps inside references here.
Yeah, so this is a painting I finished just before getting back into grad school, and I have kind of used animals as allegorical symbols for a long time in my practice. And I was really interested in kind of like exploring concepts of grief and humor in works. And so this is a painting that's like very highly saturated. And there's this kind of almost border, between the border of cartoon and like rendered in more of a relatively realistic manner, like the subjects of the animals. And I like to create works where the longer you look at it, like it can go from, you know, like fun and kind of shallow to a little deeper. And so, you know, like the concept of like if a tree falls and no one's around to look at it, there's like a fallen lamp. It kind of implies that the homeowner isn't home. So there's this kind of like Tom and Jerry-esque scene that's taking place, but I kind of want people who are looking at it to raise the question of like, well, where is the homeowner? You know, they're missing, they're gone. And there's this kind of like bordering between playful and kind of saving like battle going on between the three animals, which can I feel like border between like playful or darker humor. I also just like, you know, in the lower left corner, you know, there's the bird has escaped from the cage. And so in the lower left corner is a book from like the book cover from Maya Angelou's book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, because I thought that would be like a funny kind of like joke between the two. Yeah. And then, of course, yeah, the dog's name is Duncan. When you get close, you can see its collar. So, yeah.
And in putting together this show, I want to talk about more of the artists in the show, but
yes.
How did the conversations evolve? Because, you know, there's something, you know, so as opposed to a topic or a theme that, you know, typically with a lot of curatorial shows is somewhat academic or research oriented or perhaps something else. But this is rooted in something that's kind of deeply part of many lives in a very emotional way, right? Dogs are comforting, they're friends, you experience, I don't know, breakups, crying, whatever with your dog. You know, there's something about dogs that's unlike anything else, right? This is so I'm kind of wondering about the conversations that you had as you put together this show, and we'll move on to other works, but that's you're talking about dogs, right? That's part of what I would imagine is happening here as you put together all this, or perhaps not.
Yeah.
Relationship to dogs is what I'm saying. Yeah, the relationship to dogs, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good way to kind of talk about one of the initial struggles I had with the show. Not struggles per se, but what I really liked about the Cat Show was that I feel like, you know, like 42 out of the 47 artists were queer or female, and I feel like cats have always kind of been a magnet towards, like, marginalized communities or like, you know, creating some kind of evoke some subversive energy. And I feel like dogs have not had the same like PR problem. Like for centuries, they've always kind of flanked heroes or royalty in, you know, tableaus and portraits. Like when you think of Titian and Rubens, like in particular, Venus and Adonis, where, you know, Adonis is flanked by his hunting dogs. He's out going to go hunting, you know, man versus beast, this kind of alpha macho energy, maybe somewhat. And then you'd have like, at first I was nervous because I wanted to kind of focus on how can I create a show that has the same subversive energy. So I kind of started to think about, you know, how dogs can, you know, be more autonomous in some ways. And one of the first paintings I saw that I feel like fit that thesis was Katie Gegenheimer's Mars at the Door, which is like I feel like it's one of the most genuine paintings of someone's pet I've ever seen. I think, first of all, it's a masterful painting, but also like, I think it kind of talks into Katie's relationship with her dog, which is so special, which is like seeing the dog for what it is rather than a human object or something that's subverted to domesticity. Like there's just this kind of look in the dog's eyes where you can really feel like she was painting this dog and the dog was nervous and looking back and being like, why are you staring at me for so long? And there's something about that gesture that just feels so like what I was trying to go for, which is depicting the dog as a dog, as an autonomous being, rather than this kind of, you know, symbol of fidelity and masculinity that I feel like it was long, you know, used as in, you know, maybe some Renaissance or post-Renaissance works for a long time.
I love that. Yeah. And that's, I like that we're talking specifically about that, the painting by Katie Mars. And it's also really interesting. Yeah. That, that relationship to the queer and female community and this whole show. So let's talk about another work in this show. We talked about yours and other words, and then there's a really powerful work, or I loved it anyway, by Michael Ashkin, Dog of War, which in some ways seems self-evident, but it also has a sense of humor to it. The dog has like a cigarette in its mouth, right?
Yeah, like a commando or something, right?
Yeah, I love that. So tell me about this one, because this is quite different than the others as well. I mean, they're all really totally different, which is kind of what's fun and exciting about this. But yeah, Michael Ashkin,
Yeah.
did you have a relationship to him, or was there something particular about including him in the show?
Oh yeah, Michael was my on my thesis committee for my master's here at Cornell. And he you know, I feel like he's most known for maybe photography and sculpture, but this work in particular was a drawing of his that I really liked. And the reason I included it in the show is because I feel like it's in line with what I would imagine a straightforward depiction of what a Deus Ex Machina would be. Like, here is a dog, he's out at war, and like he's serving a purpose and he's providing a utility, but it's clearly kind of done in a tongue-in-cheek manner. Like, there's still kind of a sense of humor, even though it feels both dark, you know, because the dog looks exhausted. He really does look like he's been a dog that's been out to war. You know, and at the same so you know and at the same time, you know, I do think there's kind of a sense of humor behind it. And I included this work with the work that I used at the flyer of the show, where there's like a dog who has a leash attached to its neck, but it's like clearly run away and it's humping another dog. So there's this kind of like really great juxtaposition between a dog who's in captivity, like he's clearly, you know, confined by humanity and serving a purpose, and then another dog that's rejected that humanity to go out and, you know, just do what it wants to do under its own freedom. And I think those two together work really well.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that so much. And I think it was titled in the painting, Running Dog, right? I mean, he called it Dog of War, but I really like this one. I mean, there's so many works in the show that were put together, and that's one aspect of it. Sounds like the cat show too. These are shows with a lot of work in it, right?
Yes.
And why so much work as a curator? That's also an unusual choice, right? To have so much work in the show. Tell me about that. Like, how did you draw the limit at where it was?
I think that's a great question. I think that part of it is twofold, is that you know, on one hand, I always want to make sure that I'm bringing in artists that I don't know, who I really feel embody, like, again, like they rely on dogs or they're devoted to dogs in their work. Like, you know, Emily Louise Gousseau and Doug Deggs and Stephen Morrison are three people who I don't know personally, but I felt like their paintings, their drawings, their sculptures all are like, and their practice as a whole is so exclusively devoted to dogs that I view them as, you know, artists who work with dogs. And then another thing too is that it's just kind of a very interesting way to meet other artists and get to know them and kind of put together a, like, you know, really big show that almost becomes kind of like a party in a way, but also becomes a tool for, I mean, I'm just out of my MFA, and I feel like maybe this is weird for me to admit, but I also found it as a great way to learn more about like the dog as a symbol, and I kept wanting to find out more and meet more people and see how I could put together a big show in a way that doesn't feel too cluttered, but also feels like a broad overview of the subject too.
I like that. Learning more about dog as a symbol sounds, really kind of lovely to me, in terms of what dogs mean to us. What did you learn from the show, or have so far, about dog as a symbol?
Well, one artist who's in the show who had this really, really interesting premise. Her name is Sophie Larimore. She mentioned that her goal in life is to be a painter, and she knew that if she could take any symbol and paint it, and do it successfully that she was a successful painter. So she picked dogs. And all, so she has this really beautiful painting that shows, you know, I think some, you know, I think nude people next to poodles. And because she's also interested in some of the social dynamics, I think, taking place there as well. But so I found that really interesting because in some ways that becomes like a symbol as a utility, which again made me think like this is a, you know, in some ways like a deus ex machina in some ways for, you know, as like a tool or utility. And then in addition to that, I have found that romance and companionship or the desire for that is something that you can see clearly in a lot of works, as well as being a part of something bigger than yourself. That's certainly something that while present in my cat show was certainly not as prevalent because I feel like cats are, you know, known for being self-aggrandizing, for being royal, whereas dogs are known for, you know, sacrificing something for the greater whole, which is why I was really interested in Alex Perlstein's Suspended Branch. So that one is from the 1990s, and it's these three small battery-powered dog toys, and they've got strings around their necks, and they each of the strings ties together to a center branch. And the way that they're tied is supposed to allow the branch to kind of stay erect. And I found it really like a beautiful, like perhaps, I think this is me projecting, but a beautiful allegory to talk about like what we see in dogs, which is this kind of community oriented, focused and innocence. Whereas like, you know, humans have the tragedy of the commons. We self gratify. We, you know, each of us would go and grab the stick, but the three dogs work together to keep the stick suspended. And there's this kind of beauty and balance to that that I see, which again comes up to this idea of like dogs being a part of something bigger than themselves. And then again, as I mentioned just before that as well, like dogs as a kind of way of showing that we're hungry for like a connection beyond ourselves. I think that that some of the artists maybe are perhaps depicting in the works that are in the show too, obviously besides kind of a devotion to a particular pet or interest in dogs, but that's something that I've seen perhaps.
There's another image in this show by Emily and Gasso. Am I saying her correct name correctly?
I think it's Emily Louise Gousseau.
Emily Louise Gousseau. True love will find you. And I love this one because it's a drawing and it's of a dog that is taking the form of human. It's or it seems to be. It's standing on its hind legs, and it feels like that kind of relationship, like a loving relationship. Tell me why you included this one too. I mean, for me, it seems in one way obvious, but it, more than most in the show that I remember, this shows something about a very direct loving relationship with a dog that's so close to what it is to love another human being.
Right. You know, Emily is in the Whitney Biennial right now, and a lot of her works are dedicated to, I think it's her past Seeing Eye Dog, and it's just like all of the works have, you know, a sense of devotion to them and connection and kind of gratitude, I guess, as well, that I feel like is something that we can all relate to, who people who, you know, had dogs and lost them in the past. And I think that in this one in particular, I just kind of love the directness of the drawing and the earnestness, as well as the, you know, anthropomorphic aspects of it, which you can see in some of the other works in the show too, because again, my goal was to try to create a show that felt more subversive. And so when you look at like Danny Klebb's Dog at the Doorway, you have a dog that's looking out at an owner who's kind of staring back from the outside, which feels kind of like, you know, the animal within a domestic space versus the human in the wild space. And I kind of see some of that energy here in Gousseau's drawing, which is kind of like not just a dog that's not just a dog being forced into a human world, but kind of a human who's also trying to be a part of its animal, its pets or animals world as well.
I like that so much. Well said. I want to ask you one more question, a little off topic. And of course, for listeners, hope you get a chance to see the show. There's more information about it here and images, of course. What are you reading at the moment, Michael?
What I'm reading at the moment is The Dog's Gaze, which is like an art history book by Thomas LaCour. And I was reading it because I wanted to make sure, you know, I brushed up on some of my doggy art history while I was putting together the show. So I was reading it as the MA, who's the director of the Eli Center, and I were driving, like, from New Haven to Philly and back, picking up works. I was reading it, just trying to brush up on some of my art history, doggy art history.
I love that. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and this beautiful show you put together. And, of course, for listeners, check out the information below. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.